What a privilege we have to share God's message with the world. What a responsibility we have to share it correctly so that people can be ready when Jesus comes. Verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Speaking of him who goes into captivity or leads into captivity shall go, this prophecy was met with the fulfillment of the capture and exile of the Pope back in 1798. It talks about the saints having faith or patience. The word there in the Greek means perseverance or steadfast endurance. During the warfare of the beast, the saints steadfastly endure. They maintain their faith in God and trust themselves completely to him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is Jesus speaking about end time events. And he gives a characteristic here of God's last day people that I think is very important. Matthew chapter 24. And let's begin reading here in verse 6. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 6. Jesus said, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things," Jesus said, "are the beginning of sorrows." Verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." But notice verse 13. "But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be" what? "Saved." In order to remain faithful, in order to be saved, we must endure to the end. To be an Adventist requires endurance. It requires faith. It requires trusting in Jesus moment by moment, day by day, remaining faithful to his word, enduring to the end. That's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Faith is essential for the Christian if we're going to be found worthy when Jesus comes. God's people at the end of time have faith. Verse 11, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So the first beast of Revelation chapter 13 is identified as the papal power. Now the papal power would rule for 1,260 years. It would receive this deadly wound. That happened in 1798. But at the time when the first beast receives its deadly wound, Revelation 13 describes another power coming up. This power does not arise from the sea, but it comes up from the earth. Well, what nation, what power was arising around 1798 when the first beast received its deadly wound? The sea, of course, represents people and nations. The earth must represent a sparsely populated area. When the first beast was going into captivity, 1798, the United States was growing into prominence and power. It arose not in the old world with its teeming multitudes, but in the new world with relatively few inhabitants. Thus, this second beast of Revelation chapter 13, represents the United States of America, which fulfills this prophecy exactly. It says it had two horns like a lamb. These represent the two notable features of the American system of government, civil and religious liberty, both of which are guaranteed in the Constitution. A lamb is a symbol of youthfulness and peaceful intent. So the United States desired to live peacefully, order its own affairs, and be a haven of rest for those who were oppressed of the many nations, especially those suffering religious persecution in Europe. The early Pilgrim Fathers came here in search of religious freedom. And so the two principles of freedom of religion and freedom of speech or freedom of civil government, as encapsulated in the Constitution, represents these two lamb-like horns, these two principles, these peaceful principles. But it says there is a change. For this nation begins to speak like a dragon. For the most part, the United States has maintained the principles of religious freedom as guaranteed in the Constitution, but it will not always do so. According to this prophecy, there will be a time in America when she will reject her lamb-like characteristics and change dramatically to dragon-like characteristics. So the question we want to consider then is, what are these dragon-like characteristics? How will the United States change? How will it step upon its own constitution? Well, the Bible tells us. Verse 12. And he exercised all the authority or the power of the first beast in his presence, and caused the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now notice here that this deadly wound is healed. This is yet in the future, the passage of scripture we're looking at. A time will come when the papacy will have its full power restored. It's then that the United States will work with the papacy to infringe or to try and promote a certain type of worship. And those who refuse to go along with this type of worship will suffer the consequences of, first of all, economic sanctions. Take a look at the authority of the first beast. During the height of its power, the papacy exercised widespread authority in both religious and political matters. For the second beast, that's the United States, to exercise all the authority of the first beast, the papacy, it will have to enter into the field of religion and seek to control worship. This prophecy predicts that the United States will legislate in favor of papal policies. It's very interesting if you look at the political climate right now. Of course, we're coming up on elections here in the United States, and there's much discussion. The key word is having change in the government. That's a lot of what has been heard. You know, what I find interesting is not so much what happens in the White House as what happens at the Supreme Court. Because any type of legislation that deals with worship is ultimately going to find its way to the Supreme Court. It is there where the decisions will be made, whether these laws will be continued or whether they will be set aside. It's interesting, the makeup of the Supreme Court. It is a court right now that is leaning heavily towards Catholic ideology. And it's interesting how the two are working together, both Roman Catholicism with the United States, in influencing certain legislation, a lot of which is happening under the radar screen, but yet it is moving forward. There is a plan and a purpose. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. It talks about enforcing worship to the first beast. The United States will one day enforce a certain type of worship which will give honor to the first beast, the papacy. A hint as to the nature of the enactment is found in Revelation 14:12. One of the distinguishing characteristics of the saints is that they keep the commandments of God when the world violates the commandments in order to worship the beast. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 speaks of God's people and says, here are they who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So in order for the beast to have its own type of worship, it must then in some way violate one or more of God's commandments. The key issue has to do with worship. Which of the commandments deals with worship? Which of the commandments sets aside a time for worship? Well, the fourth commandment, that has to do with the Sabbath. Thus, the Sabbath commandment comes into focus just before Jesus comes, in polarizing the world for those who worship God and those who worship the beast. The papacy freely admits responsibility for substituting Sunday worship in the place of the Sabbath. The Catholic Church says, but the Church of God, that is the Catholic Church, has in her wisdom ordained the celebration of the Sabbath day should be transferred to the Lord's Day. And it refers to the Lord's Day as being Sunday. So the Catholic Church claims the ability to change God's law. That's the issue in the last days. God's law, and who will we worship? Verse 13, and he performed great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This is speaking about the second beast, or the United States. Now in the Bible, when you read about fire coming down from heaven, it can represent two things. On the one hand, it can represent God's approval or God's acceptance of something. For example, in the time of Elijah, there on Mount Carmel, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice that Elijah had built. Fire coming down from heaven can also represent judgment. So here we find this second beast, the United States, uses her influence and her power. It will assume, it will look as though God is behind these religious laws. There will even be miracles performed to win the support of people in following these types of laws that have to do with worship. Bringing down fire from heaven is reminiscent of the miracle on Mount Carmel. As the ancient sign gave evidence of the power of the true God, so it'll appear that God supports these religious laws. Satan will perform undeniable miracles to win the support of the people. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 and 10, and read about what Satan is going to do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9.